Diwali is one of the most joyous occasions in our Indian culture. The word Diwali is a shortened form of the Sanskrit word Deepavali, which means rose of lights. The aesthetically pleasing illumination that takes place on the festival of Diwali comes from many millennia ago, from the era of Lord Ram himself. The Ramayana informs us that when, as a result of the misguided intrigues of Mother Kaikeyi, Lord Ram was exiled from Ayodhya, the residents of Ayodhya were plunged in gloom for 14 agonizingly long years. And finally, when Lord Ram returned, the residents were so jubilant that they received him with great festivity, illuminating their house and the streets of Ayodhya. That tradition continues till today. The festival of Deepavali has many other traditions related to it. It is celebrated in some parts of India as Narakasur Chaturdashi, the day when Satyabhama and Sri Krishna vanquished the demon Narakasur, thereby reinforcing the eternal spiritual message of the victory of goodness over evil. To our Jain friends, Diwali is celebrated as Mahavir Nirvan Jayanti, the day when the great prophet Bhagavan Mahavir attained enlightenment. For our Sikh friends, Diwali is one of the three most important festivals celebrated as Bandi Chhor Divas, the day when their sixth guru was released by the oppressive rulers from prison. As a part of the customary celebration of Diwali, apart from lighting lamps, people clean up their houses and decorate them to welcome the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, to their homes. They put on new clothes, go and visit friends and relatives, distributing sweets. In some parts of India, people bathe themselves in oil, symbolizing the washing away of past sins. All these are wonderful customs. For a festival is a celebration of a culture. A festival makes a culture fun and joy for everyone to follow. What then is a culture? When a community of people develop common reference points in what they regard as excellence regarding behavior, ethics, morality, arts, education, and philosophy, and these common reference points start getting passed down from generation to generation, that creates a culture. The culture lends beauty to the society and the community and uplifts its individual members from base animalistic tendencies to the full potential of human refinement. The Hindu culture is often accepted as amongst the most ancient living cultures of the world. And the festival of Deepavali or Diwali celebrates this culture. So as we celebrate the festival of Diwali this year, let us do all the customary things, but let us make this a Diwali, which is takes us even beyond, which nourishes us spiritually, a Diwali that uplifts us ethically, and a Diwali that transforms our soul eternally. How can we celebrate such a Diwali? When Lord Ram left Ayodhya for the forest, the city of Ayodhya became barren, bereft of the Supreme Lord. We too, living in this material world, pursuing materialistic allurements, sometimes distance ourselves from God. And in this state, our mind becomes riddled with pathways of attachment, desire, greed, anger, and pride. So on the occasion of Diwali, the Ayodhyavasis celebrated bringing their Lord back into their lives. Similarly, on this occasion of Diwali, let us also make a celebration of welcoming the Lord into our heart, of uniting our consciousness with Him in a spirit of loving surrender. How can we do that? Light is universally a symbol for knowledge, wisdom, and the truth with a capital T. Darkness is again universally a symbol for ignorance. People have different perceptions of what is knowledge and what is ignorance. Once a swan and an owl got into an altercation. At midday, under the blazing sun, the owl declared, "It is night right now, I cannot see." The swan said, "Are you crazy? This is midday." The owl said, "You are mistaken. Right now it is dark." Because the owl has such big eyes, when the light increases, the owl gets blinded. Their discussion was leading to no conclusion. So the owl caught hold of the swan's arm or leg and pulled him along into the forest. The swan said, "My friend, where are you taking me?" The owl said, "You have a problem in your head. I'm getting it corrected." The owl dragged the swan into a cave where there were another 30, 40 owls. They said, "Whom have you brought here today?" The owl said, "I've brought this creature. There's something wrong with him. He is saying that this is daytime." All the owls began laughing. They said, "Get him and beat him up." The swan managed to escape for its life. And having flown into the open air, the swan realized that everybody has different perceptions. The day is not day for everyone. Similarly, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Ya nisha sarvabhutanam tasam jagarti sanyami." That which ordinary people declare as night, the enlightened sage declares as day. In the Ramayana, it is said, मोहनिशा सब सोवन हारा, देख ही सपन अनेक प्रकारा. The sage Tulsidas says, the souls of the world are sleeping in moh, in ignorance. And in that state of sleep, they are seeing dreams. I am a great manager. I am a great poet. I am a great statesman. So Tulsidas says, this is our dream state. And the person who has woken up, know him by this system, that he or she has become detached from the sensual allurements of the world. One man was once taking a walk by the side of a forest. On this particular evening, he decided to walk into the forest. As he went in, he walked a couple of miles. It was evening time, the light started fading. He thought, let me get out of this forest before darkness encompasses. As he was trying to get out of the forest, some creatures made their appearance in front of him. He could recognize the wolves, the hyena, carnivorous animals. So he turned around and ran for his life deeper into the forest. It was getting darker and darker. He found a witch standing in front of him. Come here, I shall embrace you. He said, from the frying pan into the fire, he turned perpendicular and ran from them both. By now it had become totally dark. There was a pit with some vine covering it. He did not realize he fell headlong into the pit. The vine entangled his feet and he was dangling upside down with his feet up and head below. After a few moments, he came back to consciousness and he found that he's hanging on the top of a pit. He found a snake was waiting below. Fall down and I shall bite you. But the matter gets more grim. In the meantime, two mice came and started nibbling at the branch from which the vine was hanging, indicating this is not a permanent situation. We will throw you to the snake. Further, some bees came and started stinging him on his face. In that situation, it was found that this man is smiling. So all the philosophers of the DFW Metroplex got together. They said, how is it possible for anybody to smile in such a precariously poised position? They looked up and they found there was a beehive on top. Some drops of honey were falling into his mouth. This man was licking that honey, relishing it, and thinking how delightful this honey is. You may say this man was not half mad, he was full mad. But this is the story of nobody else. It's the story of all of us. The jungle in which that man found himself is the jungle of worldly existence, where we all live, where there is a danger at every step, whether it's a danger to health, a financial danger, a relational danger, or a natural calamity. The animals that started chasing this man are diseases that get after us as we go senior in life. Now your BP has increased. Now your cholesterol has gone out of control. The witch who was standing there ready to embrace is old age, who wishes to take us in her lap. As one poet said, "Jo aakar na jaye, wo budhapa dekha." Old age is such a thing. Once it comes, it will not leave you till death. And jo jaakar na aaye, wo jawani dekhi. Youth is such a thing. Once it leaves, it's never going to come back in this life. The snake at the bottom of the pit, which was waiting to bite, is time in the form of death. As the saying goes in English, as sure as death. There is only one thing confirmed in life, and that is death. The two mice that came to nibble at the branch from which the vine was dangling are day and night. One by one, they are reducing our lifespan and throwing us towards the inevitable end. The bees that came to sting, these are the numerous desires that arise in our minds and agitate us no end. Despite this precarious position of ours, we forget everything. And the little bit of materialistic delights we get through the senses, we apply ourselves to enjoying them. So the Ramayana says, this is the state of ignorance. The famous Sanskrit prayer states, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. O Lord, lead us from untruth to the truth, from falsehood, from darkness to the light, from death to immortality. So the darkness is the lack of knowledge, our state in material existence, and light is the divine truth. Diwali should be an occasion for celebrating, for moving towards the light of that absolute truth. Why is it that we are in a state of suffering? Why is it that we are enveloped by the darkness of material existence? The reason is our forgetfulness of God. Very often people ask me this question, Swamiji, why are we here in this world? Students ask this question more often than others because they are thinking about what to do with their lives. They have more curiosity. Elders sometimes finish that curiosity. I was once giving a series of lectures in India. A student was coming to attend them every day. After the lecture series got over, he said, Swamiji, when you go to the next city, can I come and stay with you? I will get the opportunity for your association and I will also serve as a volunteer in the program. I said, you are most welcome. Now, in the next city, he was associating, he was staying with me. One day on Sunday, the lecture got over early. We went out for an evening walk when the student asked me this question: Swamiji, why did we come into this world? I thought how to explain it to him. There was a cinema hall in front. The night show had begun. I asked the student, "Do you have money for two tickets?" He said, "I sure do." I said, "Please go and get two tickets." He said, "For whom?" I said, "For you and for me." He said, "Swamiji, you will see a movie," I said, "in your company today." He got the tickets. With those in our hands, we entered the cinema hall, Indian cinema halls. It was absolutely dark. One usherer with a thin beam torch inspected our tickets, and with the beam of the torch, he indicated, "Walk down the stairs." We complied. There we met a second usherer, again with a thin beam torch. He inspected the tickets, and with his beam, he indicated, "Go and sit on those two seats." We went and sat down there. The movie had already begun. A lot of drama was unfolding on the screen. There was a hero, a heroine, a villain, a car chase, an aeroplane chase. Within 15 minutes, this student got completely engrossed in the plot. He was now oblivious to the fact that Swamiji is sitting by his side. So seeing his absorption, I said, "Hey." He responded, "Shh." "Quiet." I said, "Listen." He said, "Don't disturb." I caught hold of his finger and tugged him. "Oh, Swamiji." I asked him, "Why did we come here?" This was the same student who had asked me 15 minutes ago the question, "Why did we come here into this material world?" I now turned the tables around on him and asked him, "Why did we come here into the cinema hall?" His intellect failed him, was unable to think of an answer. I said, "Never mind. Let's get out. You will get the answer to your question." When we walked out, I said to him, "Look, inside the cinema hall, you had completely forgotten the context. You didn't remember why you had come to this city. You didn't remember with whom you were and what you were supposed to be doing. Those white rays of light, you know, in the earlier days, they used to have that celluloid which would move at 10 frames a second. So the white light passing through the celluloid, capturing colors and falling on the screen, you had accepted that as the reality. And you had gotten divorced from the actuality. But this illusion that got created in the cinema hall was because of the prevailing darkness in the hall. The moment that darkness got dispelled, if the cinema hall manager came and put on the lights, immediately everybody would have been dragged out of the illusion. "Oh, where are my slippers? I hope I have not dropped my keys. Let me get out of here fast to be the first one out of the car stand, the scooter stand." The illusion now is gone. What caused the illusion was the darkness. Similarly, Aditya Varnan Tamasa Parastat. The Shvetashvata Upanishad of the Yajurveda states, this material energy, Maya, is like the darkness. And the reason why it has enveloped us is because we have turned our backs towards the Supreme Light, who is God. Let us say this is God and this is the soul. The soul, instead of having its face to God, has turned its back to God. Now, when you turn your back towards the light, what do you get in front of you? Your own shadow. Nothing but darkness. So the reason why we are here in this material realm is very simple and straightforward. We have divorced our consciousness from the Supreme Consciousness. And the way to correct that is very simple again. You see, when you enter many halls, they have a board there called entrance. And when you are getting out, on the other side of the door, it says exit. So do the reverse of what created the problem. We have got our backs towards God. Turn around. Bring your face to Him. That is all you need to do to dispel this ignorance. And that is the spiritual endeavor that we add to our religious celebration of the festival of Diwali. So, in today's celebration of Diwali, let us enjoy all our customary activities. For after all, a festival, like I said, is a celebration of a culture. And a festival must be fun for everyone to get motivated. But let us take two steps further and go deep spiritually into it. For when we bring God into our lives, we will find the bliss that we were looking for. We will find the divine knowledge and wisdom that we have been searching for, and the perfect divine love that will satiate our hearts. In this way, in the temple, we surcharge ourselves with devotion, and then when we get down to our daily lives, we do every act as a worship to the Supreme. As the Bhagavad Gita states, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi tadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. O Arjun, Sri Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you give away in charity, do it all as a service to me. And when we start doing that, we realize that every day becomes a Diwali. That is why one saint said, Sada Diwali Santaki Atho Prahar Ananda. The revelry, the rejoicing, the festivity for those saints who have united their consciousness with God takes place on a daily basis. But that is a journey, and the journey begins by events like these, where we celebrate the festival of Diwali. So as we clean our homes, let us stop for a moment to ponder, are we also cleaning our hearts? Is there some crevice which we have ignored, which has got a little rubbish stuck in it, some nature of grudge or impatience or intolerance that needs to be expelled. Let us diligently apply ourselves to cleaning our heart along with the home, so that we can make it a fit place for the Lord of the universe to reside. As we worship the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, praying to her for wealth, let us again stop for a moment and ponder what is our definition of wealth. Let's pray to the Divine Mother to enrich us with those treasures which will remain not only in this life, but which we will carry with us life after life. On the day of Diwali, business people, they settle their accounts for the year. That's the tradition in India. Let us also look at our own account of karmas. For one day, there will be someone who will look at these accounts and grant us the destination beyond life. Are we doing well? Our scriptures tell us we must give away 1/10 in charity to purify our wealth. Nyayopārjita vittasya dashamānshena dhīmatah kartavyo viniyogascha īśvara prityarthamevacha. Whatever you have earned, take out 1/10 of it and give it away in charity to purify your remaining wealth. For if we do not do that, the wealth will very likely get lost in doctors' bills, in medical fees, and in the lawyers' bills, in court cases, etc. So let us tally our balance on the occasion of Diwali and celebrate our culture in the deepest and most meaningful way. Boliye Siyavar Ramachandra ki, Shri Sadguru Dev ki.